Hello, and welcome to the Think MHK podcast presented by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. On this podcast, you will hear from a variety of people from across the region, including community leaders and business owners. You will hear their Manhattan stories and hopefully get to know your friends and business associates a little better. Thanks for tuning in today. This podcast brought to you by Varney & Associates. Looking for expert financial guidance? Turn to Varney & Associates CPAs. Our team provides accounting, tax, audit, and advisory services. Varney & Associates are your trusted local partners in financial success for over 60 years. Our guest on the Think MHK podcast today is a repeat guest, but he's in here for a different reason this time. Lowell Kohlmeyer with KS State Bank. Hey, Lowell, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Jason. Thank you.
So the last time you were here, you were representing the Economic Development Committee, which you chaired for 2 years. So you're glad that has come to an end. I'm sure that you did a great job for us in that role. So appreciate that. But today you're here because we recently recognized KS State Bank as our Cornerstone Award winner at our Business Awards.
And it was much appreciated. And thank you. It was an honor to receive.
Yeah. So before we get into that, we always ask our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves and how they ended up in Manhattan. And I know you did that before, but for those that maybe forgot or didn't listen, why don't you give us a rundown on your history here in the community?
I come from an ag background, originally from a town up in Washington County, Lynn. Moved out to Southwest Kansas and Kinsley and finished high school and things there. Went to Fort Hays, attended there. Stacy, my wife, also attended there. And when we graduated in 84, she got a job here with Kansas Power and Light at that time. And I was with the Federal Land Bank, now Farm Credit System, and was able to get transferred here. So since 1984, we have been citizens of Manhattan. And during that timeline, I worked for Farm Credit Systems for about 17, 18 years. And then in 2000, I moved over to Kansas State Bank, now known as KS State Bank. And also during that time, Stacy has changed jobs from working at Kansas Power and Light to KPNL to Evergy to working at the Chamber of Commerce and now at Florence Manufacturing. And we've enjoyed almost 40 years here in town.
So that's interesting because Stacy officed in our current offices when she worked for the electric company and then, of course, worked in economic development for our team for a while before going to Florence. Mm-hmm. So, and will be our chair in 2025. So,
and I'll be off the board.
Yeah. Well, that will be sad to see that happen, but we're glad that Stacy agreed to become chair. She's going to do a great job and has done a great job already. So, as we mentioned before, you've been on, but we have you on this time because of KS State Bank winning the Cornerstone Award. So, a little bit for those that may be unfamiliar, we give the Cornerstone Award. This is our fourth year. We give the Cornerstone Award as a lifetime achievement for businesses that have gone above and beyond in their not only their operations, but in what they've done in the community in terms of giving back and helping promote our growth and economic prosperity. And I couldn't think of a better winner than KS State Bank for this award. But why do you believe the bank was chosen to win this year?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're honored to receive the award and be recognized with the previous winners that were there. We hope that we can simulate what those people brought to the table as far as that goes. But I do believe that Kansas State Bank was chosen because our 50-plus years of relationship to the Manhattan area community, the dedication of Mr. Howell and the Howell family, and the Daniels family as they carried forward. Looking at that thing through the active participation in the community, to the community involvement, to supporting the different ventures into the community, I think the bank learned, and I'll credit Phil entirely for this thing, is that if the community grows, the bank will grow, and we've done very successful in doing that, and I've been honored to work at the bank for the last 20 plus years.
Of course, a couple of people you mentioned there, Mike Daniels, mm-hmm. Who is, what's Mike's official title?
He's the president.
President and former chairman of the chamber. And mm-hmm. So Mike had been instrumental in our history and appreciate his participation and leadership there. But one individual I want to talk about for a minute is Phil Howe, who when I moved to Manhattan had the opportunity to meet. In fact, I think Phil was the first Citizen of the Year when I got here, it was a long overdue award. But Phil's just been an incredible inspiration to me in terms of his ability to give back to the community and want what's best for for Manhattan. But why don't you talk a little bit about Phil and his importance to the bank and your what you've seen in terms of his giving to Manhattan and helping the community grow?
Well, I think, as I mentioned there, you know, I think Phil recognized early on that as the community grows, the bank would grow. But most everybody that knows Phil and has worked for him or been around him or is just acquainted with him would probably refer to him as a gentleman and friend, first of all, off. He is very personable as he does about his work and his involvement as he's into that. He is honest. He's believable. And, you know, he's just an overall super person. You know, he loves entrepreneurship. It is what really turns him on every day and things into that to the point that sometimes you just shake your head and things out of that. But he recognized the community and what they do. He'd done an excellent job of surrounding himself as he developed the bank and opened the bank some 50 plus years ago with key people into and like people in the community. Some of the names other people may or may not know, you know, our board of directors was made up of Roger Sink, who we just last year had been on our board all the way through 50 years. Huge supporter of the Manhattan community and things down after. John Graham, who used to be the president of Farm Bureau, things with that. John Stites, here in town, who still is in town, and Grice Sexton. You know, those people, Terry Arthur, he always had those people on the board that had the best interest of the community and Manhattan and the region involved in what the bank was doing and where it was going.
Yeah, and you talked about entrepreneurship. And when we had the award at the ceremony, we had a video that talked about KS State Bank. And one of the individuals that spoke in that was Ward Morgan, mm-hmm. who's one of our more successful entrepreneurial stories in Manhattan. But he talked about Phil and KS State Bank really standing behind him at a time when it was hard. It's hard to finance software companies. So, but I mean, there's probably countless stories like that.
Yeah. You know, and there is, you know, that we go into that. Ward has been a very good friend of the bank and watched him grow and things out of there. And it has been, you know, the bank's success has come from family and its customers and relationships over the years. I think I've said it at the Cornerstone Awards. You know, we've done our business client right now. We probably did business with their father and possibly their grandfather. And the generational change has just come through. And those are the type of relationships that we really value as much as the new entrepreneur programs that you're trying to look at. They're difficult.
It's hard to do startups. We talk about it. I've been in economic development now for over 25 years and everybody says we need to focus on startups, but when you actually start getting into the weeds on it, not very many people have the stomach to do it. So particularly banks, because you're very regulated and it's and so loaning money to people with little history of running businesses or maybe in businesses that don't have a lot of assets is a big challenge. So you should be commended for that. One other thing that a lot of people may not know about Phil, but he was sort of the originator of Go Green Match Day at the Community Foundation. And you know, maybe talk a little bit about that and the importance of that in Manhattan.
Well, it's really what probably Vern would probably tell you has made that thing successful and made it grow on out there and things with it. It just speaks for the dedication of the Howe and the Howe Foundation as far as the needs of the community and does it. It really got the people involved too as far as, the donations. The Howe family has been very involved into philanthropy all across the Manhattan area and now in Arizona and in Wichita and in the overall region and things because we see the importance of the involvement and the assistance that most of the agencies can give. And with that, it allows the people to choose what agencies they want to support and with the grants coming across. And I'm sure it will probably continue on for a while. And more people have joined into the match day, which makes it that much better.
Yeah, it was amazing. I had the chance to volunteer this year and served in the foyer in the building and saw just the people coming in to give their check. And the funny thing was you could do it online, but people had gotten so used to bringing in their check and I guess made them feel good. They came in and wrote their check and just, it was inspirational to see. And so, obviously something like that is a tremendous legacy for someone to be attached to. Talk about the bank for a minute. You all have grown. You started here over a little over 50 years ago. You just had your 50th anniversary a couple of years ago. Started here in Manhattan, but you've grown into other places and other branches. How many branches, employees, those kind of things?
We're right at 190 employees right now. We have downsized a little bit over the last few years as a result of the mortgage loan area that we've moved away from. But we have offices located here in Manhattan. We have several branches here in Junction City. We still have a branch there in town. In Wichita, we have a loan production office on the east side, and our main office is on Mays and Kellogg there. Recently, over the last 12 years, I think, or 13, as we've been in Arizona, we had an investment into a bank there in Arizona. And when the 2008 time hit frame and things with that, we took that bank over, and it has been very successful with us. Mike and Janet spend a lot of their time there now because of the market and family and things with it, and we're here. So kind of expand into that thing, but it's also the needs that we have to do in order to do it. I think in Manhattan, there is now 24, 25 financial institutions here, so which is good. Everybody has to diversify. But as things change, we need to broaden our horizon, too, and go into a lot of different markets.
Sure.
It has worked well for us.
And you all have seen some similar things at other banks is downsizing your footprints. And the industry overall has just changed with online banking and those kind of things.
Technology has moved us a long way.
Yeah.
A long way.
Talk about Manhattan. Why do you think Manhattan is a desirable place for people to live?
You know, I hate to answer a question with that, but you know, I think it is the people, and I think it is the passion of the people, which is reflected by the people that we've talked about here today and things down out of there. You know, people, we're not always going to agree with everything that everybody wants to do, all the programs or all the things with it. But the people have the passion to work through those things and figure out a compromise in order to move forward. And Manhattan has moved forward. We have challenges ahead of us, no doubt. We talk about it in our chamber meetings all the time in an ED. You know, why aren't we growing more? Why don't we have additional land? You know, all those things. But I think if everybody's working together and things into that, and the people do have the passion to put those things together. So Manhattan's a great little, it's a small town, big town. You know, you can do a lot of things. The university is great. Fort is great. We have a lot of great partnerships. But it also can be a small. When you go down the street, you know a lot of the people that you meet and choose, and everybody's usually very, very friendly for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part is a good answer. So why has KS State Bank been able to succeed here, do you think?
Probably close to the same answer. Mm-hmm. The people, the passion of our employees, the directors that I talked about just previously there, you know, as far as what they wanted to do in order to improve the bank. Phil wasn't always owner of the bank. He sold it off and came back in 1984 and bought it back after that, but it has really turned it back around since then. You know, and during those times, most of our employees that have been with us have been, you know, they're for 15, 20 years. Judy Bonger just celebrated her 40th, she'll kill me, this year. So, you know, we have longtime employees because they enjoy working. They enjoy working for a gentleman such as Phil mm-hmm. Howell and things into that. So, and that tradition continues.
You talked about entrepreneurship being important to Phil and your history or the bank's history. It's important, obviously, to the community. What do you think we can do as a community to encourage more entrepreneurial ventures?
We've tried. You know, I think it takes a partnership. I really do. You know, it takes, and that partnership can either be with private equity that's coming in, or with a bank, or a sponsorship and things down in there. Joint ventures, I think, are things that we got to look at in order to do it. It's just the cost of admission is so expensive right now in order to get in most of the entrepreneur endeavors that it's just not there. And you got to have that equity or that partnership and sponsorship, I guess, to go down in there. And in some cases, I think, as we talk about in a lot of things, we got to loosen the rules a little bit in order to get it. You talk about heavily regulated. You know, that's one of the things that if they would loosen a little bit, you know, as far as and give us some leeway, we might be able to do some things. But
yeah, it's unfortunate because I know all the regulations are usually put in place for good reasons, but sometimes you have unintended consequences that it stifles really good things.
It does.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate. So last question I have before we get to the rapid fire section. You all have been active with the chamber since KS State Bank began. And again, we talked about Mike being chair. We've talked about you serving on the board and committee positions. And then Phil's been very active and engaged with the organization. Why is being part of the chamber and visible with the chamber been important to KS State Bank?
One of the main things that the chamber does is advocacy, you know, and I think being involved in that and being part of, I'm going to say, the team, as far as the business community out there, really is important to know that we're all coming together. As I mentioned, we all might not agree at one time, but the chamber does a nice job of bringing people together so that we can have a voice instead of a lot of voices and things down out of there. And usually that's a very good compromise and things down out of there. And it also gets us involved and tied into a lot of the other community business members. You know, you get to know people a lot better. You get to understand them and work together. The purpose of the chamber, it covers a broad area, you know, as far as economic development to small businesses to working on affordable housing, all those good things and available. I mean, it's just there. And it's a knowledge-based thing, you know, and I think everybody, you don't have to be on the board just to get there. All you have to do is be a member of the chamber in order to gather a lot of that information that is very useful to you. And I'm going to say the friendships and the relationships that you build in there are important. And the chamber also provides a good way for young people, staff members, to get involved into the business community and grow and expand and move on up into that. As we look at the chamber board right now, there's a couple of us that are the elders, but there's a lot of youth there. There's a lot of great ideas, and those are the people that are going to be important for the Manhattan community and region going forward.
In 30, 40 years, it's their community, right?
Mm-hmm,
so maybe sooner than that.
Yeah, probably.
So we'll move on to, and I think you did this last time, but we have different questions now, but we have the rapid fire portion, and so we'll have 10 questions. And we'll just ask you to answer them in as short of answers as possible. Although we don't time you and we don't cut you off. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So if you could only watch one movie or television show for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Andy Griffith.
That one, I can see that.
I can tell you what was on last night, both episodes.
Is that right? What do you want people to remember about you?
That I enjoyed life and I enjoy people.
What was your first job?
Chores on the farm.
Who inspires you the most and why?
I was probably most inspired by my grandpa, Colmar. Things with that, no longer with us, of course. But he was born in 1900. So he saw a lot of changes through the years. He was hardworking. He was honest. He was innovative in things as you watch the things that they had to go through as they went through life. And I spent a lot of time with him farming as a young man and child. But, but he always had time for family. He was very religious. He was involved in the civic. He knew what those responsibilities were. And, he was just good. He was good.
I think
one of the best compliments I've heard was that somebody told me that he was a good neighbor.
Oh, there you go. Sounds like a great man. What is the most unusual pet you've had?
A wild Mustang named Nevada that I broke.
What skill would you most like to learn?
Additional languages.
That's a fairly common response to that. That and musical instruments are the two most common responses.
Yeah, you don't
to
want
that.
Me to play a musical instrument.
What is the one thing that instantly makes your day better?
Sunshine.
That's I agree with that one. What is one question you wish people would ask you less?
How much longer are you going to work?
I can see where that would be annoying. Do you prefer working remotely or in the office?
In the office. I like people too.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm the same way. And then last question, what advice would you give the 19-year-old you?
Think about the consequences.
That's a good response. As I told my son when he went off to college, he came in, I said, "Son, don't be dumb." So that's the only advice I really had for him. So, Lowell, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations again on your award.
Thank you.
And we did get you the correct award.
We got it yesterday.
Little bit of backstory to that. We accidentally put the wrong year on all the awards, so we had to reorder them. But everybody has their new awards now. We appreciate that. And thank you again for your leadership in the chamber and your service in a variety of roles, but most recently as chair of the Economic Development Committee. And we'll look forward to working with you going forward.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Think MHK, a podcast produced by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. If you enjoyed the Think MHK podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe and share it out on your social media channels. Feel free to reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce.